Hey, let me be the next to say happy Father's Day to every father in the room, every uncle, every granddad that has stepped into that space. Yeah, come on, can we honor those people? To every stepdad, to every foster parent, to every spiritual dad and friend that has jumped in and taken the role of leading and inspiring the next generation, we love you. We appreciate you. We think you are fantastic. For every parent that is in this room that today is maybe a little harder, maybe over the course of the last season, maybe you have lost a child, maybe in the last little while you have become estranged from your child, maybe you're here and you're estranged from your parent, I want to let you know from the very start today, we see you, we love you, we appreciate you, you belong here. This is not just a place for those that are on the heights of the mountain, but it's for every person, no matter what you are going through. We love you, we appreciate you, and we are excited to have a chance to together celebrate dads in this room and celebrate the love of our Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Hey, today is an opportunity, Father's Day is an opportunity for all of us at Hope Center to really celebrate dads that and everything that dads contribute into our church, into our world. They asked a young man one time, Bree's there being like, sit. It's like, yeah, I get it. You can stand up. I got a whole joke. Take a seat, whatever. It's Father's Day, so she's right. They asked a young man one time, what is Father's Day? And he said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, but the jokes are worse and the presents are cheaper. And there you go. Question, when does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent. There you go. All right, so you may have noticed I have a little bit of a limp. You hadn't noticed. Very good. Brioni said I need to wear more purple because I look a little bit like Willy Wonka at the moment. And so that was cool to wake up to. But I had a little bit of an accident. The accident was deciding to play sport over the age of 30. So a couple weeks ago, I have dislocated my knee and I have torn my ACL. I've torn my meniscus and a whole bunch of other things. This is an athlete's injury. This is exactly what I keep saying. And I've had a little bit of a whoopsie, and it will be a little bit of a journey to recover. And so I appreciate your prayers, appreciate you continuing to lift up our family. I know a number of you had been praying for us, and I appreciate that so much. I dislocated it playing soccer with a number of the mighty Mansfield Eagles. So Josh Collins, Dave Fell. Matt Wyman is in the room. They get it. So if you're wondering who they are, just look for the most supreme-looking athletes in the room. You'll find us. We play third division Christian League soccer. So it's pretty high-level stuff. Worth it. And you might be wondering, how on earth did we get here? How did we get to this point? How did I get to play soccer for the first time in 15 years and the last time in the next 60? How do we get here? How on earth did I get to dislocating my knee and preaching on Father's Day with a whole lot of a mess? If you go back throughout the season, interestingly enough, this was the last game of the season that I did this. The first game of the season, I broke two ribs. And so my body is telling me I've entered my coaching era. But how did we get here? How on earth did I end up playing soccer for the Mansfield Eagles? Well, if we were to go the whole way back, the real reason is because at the end of the day, my kids asked. I got three young boys who are soccer obsessed, and at the end of the day, they were just adamant that they wanted to see their dad play soccer. And it got me thinking as I've been preparing for this Father's Day message, isn't it insane, parents in the room, isn't it insane the lengths that we go to for our kids? right? Just like you think about it, the older I get, the more I realize my parents went to just these outrageous lengths for me. I swam, which as it turns out, the older I get, I realize is less of a sport and more of an activity. But they would wake up at 4 a.m., they would drive me to swimming, and so parents, every late night pickup, every early morning drop off, all of the terrible music that you have to listen to being rehearsed, and you have to listen to being played in your car, all of the weird words that kids continue to bring into your house, words like skibbity, riz, like, they're speaking an entirely new language, but you go to these outrageous lengths to learn them. Why? Because as parents, you go to extreme lengths for your kids for one reason only, because you love them. And most times that you go to some lengths, you shouldn't end up in surgery trying to repair the lengths that you go to. That's not what I'm trying to say, but I am saying that all parents go to outrageous lengths for their kids for one reason only, because of how much they love them. And so today on Father's Day, I just want to take this moment right now and celebrate and applaud and honor and recognize all of the lengths that every dad in this room goes to for their kids. Can I tell you that all of the lengths that you go to, the hours that you put in at work, the times that you get home and you're tired and you sit up and you still read that story, the lengths that you go to in protecting and providing and instructing and exampling, and ultimately the lengths that you go to loving your kids. Do you do it perfect? No. But here is the incredible thing about being a father. This is the incredible thing about being a parent. You are imperfect, but you are important. And I want to just take a moment and celebrate every dad. Can we once again just celebrate every man that has risen to the occasion? And that's why on Father's Day, we stop and we take stock, right? This is what Father's Day is all about. We stop and we survey everything that dads do for their kids, everything that my dad does for me. This is a day that we step back and we take in all that fathers do for their kids and all the lengths that they go to and all that they do and all that they've done, and we hold it all in our hearts and we give them a Bunnings gift card. That's what this day is all about. But I thought on a day that we do that with our earthly dads, it would be so important that we stop and we take stock of and we take a moment to consider not just the love of our earthly parents, but we take a moment to celebrate the love of our perfect heavenly Father. A Father that does it so much better than we could ever think, definitely so much better than we could ever see. A Father that goes beyond our best attempts here on earth, imperfect as they may be, and he perfects them in every way. This is why it's so important that we recognize that when God is referred to as the Father in Scripture, he is referred to as the Father in the shape of the relationship, not the quality of the relationship you may have experienced. It's so easy for us to have our image of God either tainted or shaped or formed, rightly or wrongly, by the experience of a father that we have here on earth. But here is the thing that is important for us to recognize. God is our Father in shape, not in the quality that you have experienced. Jesus says it like this in Matthew 7. It says, if you then, speaking of dads, let's just get through this next bit quickly because it's Father's Day, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Dads, as good as you are, dads, as bad as you may have been, as much as you yell at your kids, as much as your patience get fried, as much as you fry the ever-living life out of the steak, as imperfect as you may be, as much as you try and fall short, you still know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more, catch this, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? How much better? How much more? How much further will he go to for his kids? In Scripture, God is known as so many things, and we refer to him as so many things. He is our judge, he is ruler, he is creator, and all of those things are true and are right. But it is so important that we remember that at the center of all that he is, at the center of who he reveals himself to be through his son, Jesus. One thing you have to understand, one thing that is vital to your faith, to your heart, one thing that is vital to your life is that you understand and have a deep revelation of God as your heavenly Father, as a perfect heavenly Father. God, all throughout Scripture, has been referred to as Father. He's Father right from the beginning because he created all things. He is the Father of all life because he made it all from the very beginning. He is called the Father of Israel. We go forward into the New Testament and Jesus comes. He is the Son of the Father. But then when the disciples come to Jesus and they say, teach us how to pray, he says, pray like this. He says, come into the room and start your prayers like this. Our what? Father. Jesus wants us to recognize, realize, and experience our faith rooted and built on the revelation that God is our Father. And not just any Father, but our perfect heavenly Father. Have a look at some of the ways that Scripture refers to the perfect ways. Every father on earth is like a reflection, a rough sketch of the perfect Father that God is revealed to us throughout Scripture. He is the creator. He is loving. He is our provider. He is our protector. There is this beautiful Scripture in Deuteronomy that it says, and in the wilderness where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. God is your protector. Carried you as a man carried a son all the way through until you came to this place. Our God is our protector. Our heavenly Father is our protector. He carries us in the midst of life, in the midst of what we are going through. He picks us up as a man carries his son. So our heavenly Father carries us, carries his people through life. He is our disciplinarian. Not all of us love this, but in Hebrews it says, Don't reject, don't despise the discipline of your father, because he disciplines the ones that he loves and calls his son. He guides us, he comforts us, he heals us. It says that he is the father to the fatherless. He is the source of our inheritance. He is the source of our identity. We get our name from him. We get our inheritance from him. And ultimately, he desires relationship. He is compassionate. This psalm, oh man, if you could read this psalm every day and get it into your heart, it says in Psalm 103, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. A father is compassionate, he's faithful. It may be days that your dad, or maybe you as a dad, you're just like, I'm done. They did not put the right blocks in this Lego pack. I am done. You get up and you walk away. There are other times in life, more seriously, that your dad may have walked away when you needed him most. But our perfect heavenly Father is so much better than the rough sketch of an idea of the Father that you may have experienced. He is perfect. He is faithful. He will never walk away. You might be in this room and you'd say, well, that's great. He's a great dad. Growing up in my area, there were a bunch of great dads around me. That doesn't make him my dad. If that was the way that it would be, Bluey's dad, Bandit, would be all of our dads, right? Just because they're good doesn't make them ours. But here is what I want to encourage you. And if you want to come with me, and it's so important that you understand this, because there are so many people. And this is wild, and it's heartbreaking as a pastor to walk with so many people. Those with a faith, those who yet don't have a faith, that are walking through life as a spiritual orphan. That maybe you relate to a father in heaven like a servant. He's a great dad, but he's everybody else's. He's just not mine. Walk through life insecure, worried that he might walk out, just that I've got to continue to live up to it, that walking around without the deep knowing, the deep revelation of God as our Father. Can I encourage you, if there is one day to have this revelation, it is Father's Day, that you are not a spiritual orphan. You are not without a heavenly Father who loves you and delights in you. And if there is a day to have this revelation, it is today. It is on Father's Day for you, for the Holy Spirit to meet you right where you're at and pour into your heart the revelation that you are not abandoned, you are not alone, that God is for you, that He goes way beyond just making things right and He calls you His own. He is your Father. Come with me to 1 John 3 verse 1. I would encourage you, if I can, until you have this revelation, until this sits deep in your spirit, to come back to this scripture every day. It says this. This is one of my favorite texts in all of the Bible. It says this: see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God. And so we are. John, all throughout Scripture, especially throughout his letters, he loves to refer to Christians as children. This isn't a slight at your maturity. This isn't a slight at the fact that, you know, you're not really growing up. No, no, no. He loves to call us children because he likes to stress the identity of every believer. In calling us children, he's stressing our origin. He's stressing our new birth, the relationship that we have with God. But more than that, he's stressing the family likeness, the family resemblance. I've got three young boys. I remember the first time, and you've probably experienced this as well, the first time that you bring your kid home from the hospital, there is one conversation that everybody loves to jump into, right? It's like, fantastic, how's mom doing? How's the baby doing? Fantastic, what's the weight? Because apparently that's like an important thing that everybody likes to know about. I think that's for a sympathy card for the mother. It's just like, the bigger the number, the bigger the sigh. Once we get through kind of the nitty-gritty and it's like every person goes through the nurse's check, there is one thing that everybody does, right? They kind of grab the child and then they like hold it here and then they do a comparison. It's like, this is baby, this is mom, this is baby, this is dad, uncle, grandparents, where are we at? And we see, well, that's what dad looks like. Oh, wow, fantastic. He's got dad's eyes. He's got mom's ears. That's never been said of my children. They all have been gifted Alcorn ears, which means we can pick up AM and FM radio. Which, I'll be honest, there's nothing more just stressful than putting on a headset that sits behind these bad boys, because I am hearing things happening across Breakfast Creek right now. But they check for the family resemblance. It's like, what features do you have that looks like your parents? And this is what John likes to stress. He's like, you are children. Why? Because you ought to look like your Heavenly Father. You ought to have something about yourself that looks like the one who birthed you into a new spiritual reality. He says that you are children. And Ezra is a straight up clone of me, and so that was super easy. But every kid has some family resemblance. Why? Because they reflect their parents. And John likes to call us children because we should reflect our Heavenly Father. To come back to this text, John uses the word see and behold. He intends for us to direct our attention and reflect on the greatness of the Father's love for us. He's saying on this day of all days, he says, see, look, inspect. He's saying, don't give it a man look, this love the Father has for you. Don't look at the Father's love like you're searching the cabinet for mayonnaise. No, no, no. Look deeper. Don't give it a man look. What I want us to lean into in our lives is to give it a lawn look. And what I mean by that, and every man in the room, they know this, there's nods going around the building. The day after you mow your lawn, early in the morning, you grab your coffee, you crack those blinds open, and what do? You hold that mug in one hand, the other hand locks onto your lip, and you just stare, baby. You take that lawn in. It's so funny, Brioni cut our lawn for the first time in her life, and the next morning I woke up, and I saw her staring out our window at our lawn. Yeah, welcome to the club. And John is saying, don't just brush over this kind of love the Father has for you. What I want you to do, I want you to stand and soak in this kind of love. Don't gloss over it. Stay in the moment and stare deeply. It's a word that means to ponder, to study. It invites us, as Spurgeon says, to pry into this secret. That don't fall into the trap, Christians, of taking this love of the Father for granted, just brushing over it, assuming that it's just there, but stare at it. Stop. Soak it in. Don't skip over it. We are children of God. How? John tells us it because of the Father's love. He says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. John places the word Father in the most important position in this sentence to stress the family relationship, that God himself is the source of this love to us. And what marvelous love it is. How outrageous. This is no common run-of-the-mill kind of love. No, this love, the word that he uses is potopen. If you were a Greek person living in kind of a Greek seaport town, you might be standing on the shores and there would be sea shanties in the air, the smell of salt, and strange sails might be seen on the horizon as over from out of view comes a foreign-looking ship. And you might begin to hear this word, potopen, begin to circle around about you. It's a word that means, where is this from? People would begin to inspect, trying to figure out where on earth the ship is from. What country is this from? Whereabouts is this from? Who are these people? What am I about to discover? What new people are coming to visit us? This is the word that he translates what kind of in chapter 3, verse 1. It is a very uncommon word that is only found 6 times throughout Scripture. It bristles with excitement and astonishment and urgency, and it leans us into inspecting and awaiting a revelation. It's what kind of love, where on earth is this love from? It's like when you find your child holding a dead mouse in the driveway and you ask, where on earth did you get that from? It's that wonder. It's where did you find this thing? This is the way that we need to stop and regularly stare at the love of the Father. It's the question that the disciples asked when Jesus calmed the storm. What manner of man is this? It's where on earth is this love from? Because it's no ordinary kind of love, and it's so important that we understand that this love is so extraordinary, so distinct. It originates from somewhere entirely other. It's a heaven kind of love. It's a love that is vast and profound and utterly astonishing. It goes beyond our wildest imaginations. It's incomprehensible in its scope. It is boundless in its reach. It is limitless in its depth. It is a love that finds every person where they are at. When the Apostle Paul was trying to describe this love, he struggled with words to try and capture it. And so he kind of resorted back to basic words. You read it in Ephesians 3. It says that we may have the strength to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. It's as if Paul is trying to measure this love. It would be like attempting to capture the sky in a single photo. It would be like trying to weigh the wind. It would be like trying to gather the stars in a jar. It is utterly impossible. Friends, what kind of love is this? When I contemplate the love of the Father, I am overwhelmed by love that doesn't shy away from sacrifice. I'm overwhelmed by the lengths that he goes to. I realize that it is a love that doesn't walk away when I'm falling behind. It doesn't wait for us to prove ourselves. This love is not prompted by anything inherently lovable in us, but it comes from God, if the band wants to join me. It comes exclusively from the Father, the very depths of his infinite being. God is a God who loves because that is who God is. Elsewhere in John, he says that God is love. He loves because he is God, and he cannot be anything other than what he is. When I gaze on the cross, I see a love that is not extinguished by sin, but rather pours itself out upon the sinner. I see it being poured out on the frail, on the lonely, on the hurting, on the lost. It's a love that comes running to us, and as Christians, we should never cease to be amazed by the love that God has for us. A love that transcends all others, that overwhelms every picture and sketch of love we have experienced here on earth. That's why we cannot fall prey to the idea that we have a clue about this kind of love based on what we've seen, either good or bad, in our own Father. John tells us that this amazing love has been given to us. The specific wording, the tense that he uses, it's to say that it's not a gift that can be earned or bought or taken away. This isn't a love that we could ever work for or deserve. What kind of love is this that would be given to us? He says this love is a gift that he has given to us, that we should be called a child. This is a term of honor. Maybe some of you in the room are named after your father or a grandfather as a way of honoring them. God reverses it and he turns to us and he gives us a name. He calls us his children. It grants us an honor so much greater than we could ever have or experience any other way. And here's the thing. If this truth feels overwhelming, too good to be true, if I sound a little bit too much like the sham wow guy, wait, there is more. Because here is the thing, if you're here and you're like, well, Ryan, like I said, it sounds like he's a great dad, but he's just not mine. He's my Lord, he is my ruler, he is my king, he is all of those things, that's great. It sounds too good to be true. If it sounds too good to be true, friends, it might just be grace. But John, he knows that there'd be people in this room that would say, fantastic, not for me. And that's why he puts the full stop on it. And he says, and that is what we are. The story of a missionary translating this text with a Hindu student of his, and the student translates the text, and when it comes to it, it says, see what great love that he's given to us, that we should be able to kiss his feet. And the missionary turns to his son and he says, why on earth would you translate it like that? He says, children, this is too much. This is too good. But the missionary grabbed him and said, you cannot skip past this. This is so foundational to the wonder of what we have in Jesus. We are his children. This is what we are. We are his children. J.I. Packer says that adoption is the highest honor of the gospel. Adoption just doesn't say that you're fine and leave us at the door, but it calls us inside. Adoption doesn't just make us right, it makes us his, and we are his children at his choosing, at his behest. And friends, today, if I could give you one thing, it would be the invitation to allow the Holy Spirit to pour into your hearts afresh. The revelation that you are not a spiritual orphan, that you are not abandoned, that God is for you, that he goes beyond anything that you could ever imagine, and the love that you've experienced on earth is but a whisper of the reality of the love that our Father has for you. What kind of love is this? Today, if you would begin to believe that, all of the worry, all of the posturing, all the performance, the insecurity, it melts away in an instant. So if right where you're sitting, you would just close your eyes and bow your head, I want to speak this over you. Because today, I want to encourage you to take off an orphan spirit. I renounce insecurity over your spiritual life. I renounce bitterness. I renounce jealousy. I renounce striving. I renounce every fear that you have given into and anything that you are enslaved to. And instead, I pray that you would receive a spirit of adoption, that you would receive the Father's affection, that you would receive Jesus's compassion, that you would receive the Holy Spirit's love, that you would receive total assurance in Jesus' name. Today I cancel the lies of the enemy. I reject every lie that I am approved by my performance, that God doesn't like me, that the Father is disappointed in me, that I have to pay God back and instead I receive the truth of the gospel, that I am secure in Him, that I have nothing to prove, that I can give myself away freely without loss, that You are chosen and wanted by God, that Your Father loves and delights in You. You have a Father you can run to. Friends, are you anxious? Are you alone? He is there. He is faithful. He is true. He is perfect. He is a perfect Father. Here is my question for you today. Are you a child? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give every person in this room, maybe you've never made the decision to make Jesus the Lord of your life and receive that name, that honor of being a child of God. On the count of three right across this room, I want to give the invitation to every person that hasn't never made that decision to raise their hand and say, Ryan, today I lay down my best attempts and my worst days and I come running to Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, would you raise your hand right where you're at? 1, 2, 3. Today is your day to say yes to Jesus. Who needs to raise a hand right now? Maybe you're online. There are hands going up across this room. I wonder who else needs to say yes to Jesus today and receive the wonder of being a child of God. Amazing. If that's you and you place your hand, or you've raised your hand, or maybe you've made that decision in your heart, could you place your hand on your heart right now? In fact, could we jump to our feet right across this room? We're going to end with this song. But I would love the honor to pray with you right now. If you made that decision, could you just place your hand on your heart and pray this prayer with me? Jesus, today, I call You Lord of my life. Come on, every person, forgive me. Call me Your child. Today, I receive the love of the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.